welcome on the sixth Sunday of Easter. This Memorial Day, we pray for those who courageously laid down their lives for the cause of freedom. May the examples of their sacrifice inspire in us the selfless love of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the families of our fallen troops and fill their homes and their lives with your strength and peace. Couple announcements. We have been working on preparing for the reopening of the church. Unfortunately, we are not ready yet. We will continue to follow the guidelines and the recommendations from the state, the ELCA, and the North Carolina Synod office. The sanitizer stations, masks, have been ordered. There will be some changes within the church on how we enter and exit. We will send out the changes before we open the church so everybody will be informed. All activities, groups, choir, etc., will continue to be canceled at this time. If your group would like to hold a virtual meeting via Zoom, please contact me and I'll set you up with a meeting site, date, time. I'm waiting on the direction from the Synod office at this time on how they suggest we should move forward with all activities when we reopen the church. If anyone has a need, a question, or concern, please reach out to me and we will do all we can do to make that happen and help you out. Do we have any birthdays today, Chip? Happy birthday to Sheila Davis White, Isabel Heitman, Maddie Blower, Charles Garner, Joe Davis, Johnny Turner, Megan Blanchard, Chris Black, Rusty Blower, Randy Holloman, Greg Rose, Jordan Kepley, and Miss Judy Black. Happy anniversary to Gary and Paula Hedrick. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to help of your people, turning us from sin to live for your life. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow in the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all of our sins. As a assisting minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You play or not? O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And in a few minutes, you'll hear in the sermon about unity and being together as one in our world, okay? So we're going to talk about that in a little different way today. What do I have right here? Water. What's it in, Gracie? A vase, right? Yeah, just a glass vase. Okay, so we're going to pretend that the glass vase is the world, okay? And everybody is the water, okay? Your body's made of a lot of water, so we're going to pretend you're water today, okay? And your water, we're all in the world, right? Yeah? I'm going to put a little food coloring in here, okay? I'm going to turn our water a little murky, a little blue, okay? See? Why did I do that? I turned it blue because we're going to pretend that blue could be sin, things that happen in the world, okay? That kind of turn our water not clear anymore, right? Can you see through? Can't see through there as good, can you? It's not as good, is it? It's light blue, okay? And then I brought some vegetable oil. We're going to pretend that y'all three are vegetable oil because you are Christians. You believe in God. You do what he says, right? And I'm going to pour y'all into the world, okay? Watch what happens. I poured it in because I want to show that you can still be in the world, but where are you at? Gavin, where are we at? We're on top. We didn't mix into all the sin, did we? Because y'all make good choices, right? So when you make good choices, you're still in the world, and you can dive in to everyone else and tell them about Jesus, but we're going to sit up here and make good choices because God's going to help us, right? So we're still all one in the world, but we're sitting up here. We didn't turn murky. We're going to follow God and do what he says and make good choices and pray, right? All right. So we're going to just say a prayer that says, God, thank you for letting us come to you every day. Okay? Ready? God, thank you for letting us come to you every day. Amen. All right, I'm going to leave that right there so we can see that we are part of the world, but we're making good choices, okay?
So when first reading today comes from Acts, first chapter. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or period that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were amazed, gazing upward toward heaven. Suddenly the two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. When they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 68. Let God rise up, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord, so exultant before him. Fathers of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad, you restored your heritage when it languished. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to the Lord. O rider in the heavens, the ancient heavens, listen. He sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God in his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. The third reading today is from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I very quickly realized when I started looking for ideas with this sermon that most of my interactions occur with high school students, and for 3 months I haven't seen anybody. So a lot of this sermon is bits and pieces of research that I found, and for lack of a better way of saying it, stole it from other people. So one of the things that I came across was a sermon from a man named Reverend Billy Strayhorn, and there was a story in it that I want to share. So here it is. Man was telling a story about a rabbi who was having trouble with his congregation. They couldn't agree on anything. The president of the congregation said, Rabbi, this can't continue. There has to be a conference, and we have to settle all the areas of dispute once and for all. The rabbi agreed. So at the appointed time, the rabbi, the president, and 10 of the elders met around this table in a conference room of the synagogue. And one by one, the issues were dealt with, and it became more and more apparent that the rabbi was kind of this lonely voice in the wilderness. The president of the synagogue, he said, Come, Rabbi, enough of this. Let's vote and allow the majority to rule. He passed out slips of paper, and each man made his mark. The votes were collected, and the president said, You may examine them, Rabbi. It's 11-1 against you. We have the majority. Offended, the rabbi rose to his feet, and he said, So now, you think because of the vote that you're right and I'm wrong? Well, that's not so. I stand here, and he raised his arms up, looking towards the heavens, and he called upon the Holy One of Israel to give a sign that he was right and that they were wrong. No sooner were the words out of his mouth when there was this kind of deafening clap of thunder and this brilliant flash of lightning that struck that table and cracked it right in two. The room was filled with smoke and fumes, and the president and the elders were kind of hurled to the floor. Surrounded by the rubble, the rabbi, he just stood there, untouched, his eyes and his smile flashing with triumph. Slowly, the president lifted himself out of the rubble. His hair was singed. His glasses were hanging from one ear. His clothing was in disarray. Finally, he said, "All right, 11 to 2, but we still have the majority." Now, unfortunately, we all know that not everything that's done in the church or in the name of the church is always done for the glory of God. We know that at times in history, the church has ignored the will of God in order to have its own way. And as a consequence, there's been discord and disunity in God's church. And this disunity is apparent really in just the number of denominations that we have. So at first, it was basically like a family squabble. One group put scripture in front of the church structure and called for a change, and they were rejected. So they protested. Then one family became two. You had Protestants and the Roman Catholics. But once the squabble started, it kind of snowballed, and it wasn't long before the Protestants, they began disagreeing and became disagreeable towards their brothers and sisters in faith. And there was disunity in the body of Christ. Now, today's gospel is really a prayer. And most of the time, if I say the Lord's Prayer, we have a little different sound to it than what you heard in the gospel. This prayer recorded in John's gospel is a prayer for unity. It has been called the real Lord's Prayer because it's the one that Jesus prayed for his disciples. It's the Lord's Prayer for his companions and his church. It was the first prayer for Christian unity. Jesus prayed that his disciples may be one. So this idea of Christian unity is a major emphasis of the prayer. In the words of another reverend, on the last night of his life, our master did not pray for the health of the disciples, for the success of the disciples, even for the happiness of the disciples. He prayed that they would get along with each other. So in other words, our Lord's Prayer was for unity between his disciples and unity within his church. So how do we accomplish that? How do we bring about and work towards unity? Well, first, it starts with us. We can't wait for anyone else to start. We have to be proactive. We have to take the first steps. We have to stop doing and saying those things that lead to, cause, and continue the disunity amongst us. We have to be the first to act. Unity has to begin with us. And it has to begin with our personal relationship with Christ. We have to be one with Christ first. Our lives have to be knit together with His life through faith. And it has to begin in our church. So as a congregation, our lives have to be knit together in love through Christ. So in being one with Christ, we have to pull together. Someone gave an example. I was talking about a fair out in the Midwest. There was a lot of spectators that were gathered for an old-fashioned horse pull. Basically, this event where they put weights on a sled and it gets hitched up to the horse and they basically say, "Hey, drag this." Well, the grand champion horse pulled a sled that had about 4,500 pounds on it. The runner-up was close with a 4,400-pound pull. So some of the folks wondered what they could pull if they were hitched together. So separately, they totaled nearly 9,000 pounds. But whenever they were hitched and working together as a team, the winning horses were able to pull more than 12,000 pounds, almost three times what either of them could pull alone. So imagine a powerful force that we could exert as a congregation, as a denomination, as a church in the world, if we all pulled together as a team. You see, we can't accomplish as much if we're going in 10 different directions. We have to have a common goal and a common purpose. When we have that common purpose, that common vision, that common goal, then we can do almost anything, especially when that goal or vision is God-given and God-driven. Right now, we have a dream and a vision for this church, and it's a big vision, and we have to depend upon God to accomplish it. We've seen glimpses of the vision. God's planted the seeds in our hearts, and now those seeds are just beginning to sprout. A lot of work has gone into preparing the soil. A lot more will be going into cultivating the soil and caring for that plant so that that seed might grow and bear fruit in the form of maybe us just finding a new pastor. And then seeing the work of that congregation bear fruit as it plans for a new beginning. But in order for us to accomplish this dream, we have to have faith. We have to trust and depend upon God. And we have to pull together. We have to call upon Christ and live out the love of Christ in all that we do. In a Family Circus comic, little Billy was praying, and he prayed this: "Make me good. If you don't get through to me the first time, please keep trying till I answer." That probably should be our prayer. As Jesus prayed for our unity, we should continue to pray to be reminded. We should pray because we're not called to do it alone. We're called to pull together to serve God through Christ. So make us one, Lord. And if you don't get through the first time, please keep trying till we answer and begin to pull together. So this idea of unity starts with us. We have to pull together, and we have to keep on climbing. The secret's not giving up. Unity isn't easy. Most of us have never learned how to disagree in love, or how to love those with whom we disagree. Unity isn't easy. But Jesus not only prayed for it, he modeled it for us. Remember when the disciples came to him complaining about the people who were preaching and doing signs and wonders in Jesus' name, but weren't a part of the crowd of the disciples? They were ready to run them out of town or call down lightning upon their heads. Jesus told the disciples not to stop them and said, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit." Christian unity is not determined by whether we agree with each other about every interpretation of Scripture or doctrine or form of church government. Christian unity is determined by whether we love one another and whether we reflect the love of God in Christ for the world. There will always be that which separates Christians from Christians and denomination from denomination, but we can still affirm and celebrate God's love for us all and our love for one another. In the ways of love, the ways of mutual respect, understanding, and acceptance, we can be one in Christ. We have to continue to work toward unity and understanding between each other, between the races, between cultures, and between denominations. We may never reach it, but by working toward it, at least we'll be going in the right direction. So we have to work towards breaking down racial, cultural, denominational barriers that divide us as Christians. We're called to let go of past hurts that have separated us from one another by turning them over to God and offering those who have hurt us forgiveness, and in seeking forgiveness from those who we have hurt. We're called to demonstrate our unity in Christ through love. It has to start with us. We have to pull together, and we have to keep on climbing. No matter what the vote, Christ's prayer and Christ's command is still that we be one as he is one with God, and that we love one another as he has loved. Amen.
Let's say what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and all places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. O God, call your people to be one as you are one. Unite your church in the truth of your gospel, the love of our neighbor, and the call to proclaim your reign to all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Breathe life into your creation. Guide your people as we explore the mysteries of the universe. We pray for the work of all those whose skill enriches our understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Make your justice known among the nations of the earth. Protect the vulnerable. Redirect those who use violence and greed as weapons. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Come to the aid of your children. We pray for all those in need, especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Steve, Randy, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Joe, Brian, Bill, and all those in our hearts and on our minds. May them all rest their needs in your care. Lord, in your mercy, give courage to all those who embark on new ventures. We especially remember this day those who risk their lives to serve in our armed forces. Grant safety to those serving at home or abroad, and assure them of your never-failing strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Raise all your saints to eternal life. Until that day, we give you thanks for the faithful examples of those who have listened to your voice and now rest in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. Now let's share our peace. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Now let's say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.